Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome you to worship this morning. We ask the Lord to be with us and bless us in this worship. And also to be with Larry and Sue as they are going on vacation for this month. And so you get the privilege, I hope you consider it, of having to listen to me instead of Larry. But anyway, you need for the worship, you need the Chicago Folk Service thing, and you need a bulletin. And you'll need a hymnals, of course. So if anyone doesn't have those, raise your hand, the ushers will bring you some. I hope everyone has them. Okay?
We would have tripped them.
Okay. I think the announcements are fairly clear in the bulletin, unless anyone here has any. We will take a moment of silence as we prepare for worship, and then the first hymn will be 861. Please stand, hymn 861.
God that we have not lived as we could and ask him to forgive us.
Our
Our Father, we have not fulfilled the hope in which you created us. We repent and ask your mercy, that our sin be forgiven and our guilt removed. Help us to learn from Scripture and from one another your will for our lives, so that with your help we can claim the inheritance of unlimited freedom which you have willed to us through your Son, who came into the world.
Jesus, come unto us.
God our Father does care about us. He sent his Son Jesus Christ to us, and for us Jesus gave his life. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and all things are new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and who has entrusted to us the ministry of reconciliation.
Glory be to God on high. first lesson today is from Acts 2, 1 through 21. Come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared upon them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in their own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy.'" Excuse me. "And I will show portents in heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoke mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved."
For the song, we will sing the one printed in your bulletin, "Praise and Thanksgiving."
Harvest of soul fields, fruits of heaven.
The second reading for today is Romans 8, 14 through 17. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. So ends the reading.
Please stand for the Alleluia and the Gospel. Chapter of St. John, chapter 14, verses 8 to 17.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And Philip said to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, I have been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, but if you do not then believe me because of the works themselves, very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
Jesus,
Lord Christ.
You may be seated. Have the children come forward. I think at least one of your parents, because this is a real difficult children's sermon today, so we need one of your parents to come forward also to help you. Okay, I have a numbers now. If you take 1 plus 1 plus 1, what do you get?
33.
Are you sure? Well, you know, in school you're right, but in church you're wrong. Because in church, 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 1. Did you know that? And you probably don't believe me either, do you? Okay, we talk about God as being a Trinity. Now, this is something that if you understand it, you can explain it to everyone here, because even I as a preacher don't understand it. But we talk about God the Father who created the world, right? And we talk about who saved us? Jesus. And we talk about the Holy Spirit. And today we're celebrating the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so do we believe in three gods then? No, we still believe in one God. Now how can that be? If you go to school and tell your teacher 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 1, they'll say you better go back a couple grades, right? Yeah, but when we talk about God, we say we just have one God. And so it's something that it's part of our Christian faith, but we really don't understand it. But that's because God is God, and we don't understand God, do we? We try our best to understand Him, but it's sometimes sort of difficult. So let's pray about that. Dear Lord, we thank You that You are a God that are much smarter than we are and much more above us, but yet You come down to love us and care for us. And so we thank You for the God that You are. We pray this in Your holy name. Amen. Thank You. I don't know if your mom was much help, but anyway. Praise be unto You and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As I said, today we're going to talk about the first article of the Apostles' Creed. I was thinking this morning, our grandson was confirmed just the Sunday after Easter. And he did a project for his confirmation. And that project was he went to the kids in his class, his high school. No. Oh, he's not in high school, see. Eighth grade class. And he asked them, what would happen to you if you died tonight? And the answers he got was interesting. Some said, I'd go to hell. Some said, nothing because I don't believe God exists. Some said, I don't know. Some said, purgatory. And some said, I go to heaven. It was amazing to me, all the answers he got, and there weren't that many that said they would go to heaven. And some of them said, I don't know. That was the other answer. Well, we need to know what we're about and who we are in the church. And so if someone were to ask you, what do you believe? You could recite to them the Apostles' Creed. Now, you might think it's a little stilted by going through it. I believe God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, Jesus Christ, so forth. But that really is what we believe. And that really states our faith. Now, the Baptists, I would say, we don't use creeds because they're man-made. Well, yeah, they're man-made, but we could, every point in the creed, we could prove if we needed to prove it, right? And we'd say, this is what says this or that. So I want to begin. We begin, I believe. Now, that could be sort of generic, like I could say, I believe that God exists. Well, that's nice. But let's say you had a friend who was very athletically prone, and he says, I'm going to stretch a tight wire across Niagara Falls, and I'm going to push a wheelbarrow across it. And you say, I know him, and I think he could do it. And then you say, and I'm going to get in the wheelbarrow. Now, that's what it means to, I believe. So we really believe in God. We trust in Him, okay? But then we say, I believe in God. Well, we know some gods, people had a child worship. They would kill their babies to offer to the gods. Some gods are cruel. I mean, God could just like that zap us with lightning and kill us if He wanted to, if we do something wrong. Is that the kind of God we believe in? How do we know what God is like? Well, we know His Son, right? We know Jesus. Jesus came into this world to save us from our sins. Jesus loves us. He cares us. He showed that to us. He said, believe in me and you will be saved. And so because of his son, we say the son is like the father. And so we believe in God. It's a good God. It's a God that isn't going to do what some other gods might do. So we say, I believe in God the Father. I had a father. My father had six children. I was the oldest of six. He was a very kind and caring father. I loved him. He loved me. He wouldn't ask me to do anything that he wouldn't do himself. You know, I grew up on a farm. Of course, there's a lot of work to do there. I could tell you things that he did wrong, but he was a good father. Now, some of you here might have had a father who wasn't a good father. There are fathers who are abusive, fathers who are hurtful of their spouse and or children. And so you might say, I don't know if I like that part of the creed. I believe in God the Father. But we need to think of father as the term in the way that a father is supposed to be understood. And those of you who are men here or fathers, you know, that says something to you. It's important that the role model that you are for, whether it be your own children or other children around you, if our kids are gone or if we never had kids, whatever the situation might be. So we say, I believe in God the Father Almighty. My father did the best he could, but he wasn't almighty. He couldn't take away all the pains in life. And of course, we know that even with God the Father Almighty, he doesn't take away all the pains that we go through. But he's there with us. He helps us. He gives us what we need. And then it says, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator. It said, we say maker of heaven and earth. But I think that's the one word I would change in the creed to creator. Because God is a creator. He created the world. He created us. You know, I think the Babylonian creation myth has a big lion or a big, what was it? Anyway, something cut in two and a part of it was thrown out and became the moon. A part of it was thrown out and became the earth. And the, if we think of the earth that way, then the earth is something that is bad, destroyed by something bad, right? But our faith as Christians or Jews is that God created the world out of nothing, and it was good. And you remember the creation stories, God did this, he did that, and it says, and it was good. And God rested, and then we go on to the next day. So the earth is made out of something good, not something bad, and the whole world around us. So I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Believe that he has created us and that we are separate from the other animals in the world. Think of the animals that you know of in the world. I think God had a great sense of humor in creating a giraffe with a long neck or a trunk with a trunk. Elephant, right? An elephant with a trunk, you know. That is really something. Or an ugly hippopotamus. Now, there's a big, fat, nothing, sort of like, but I'm told they can really move fast if they decide they need to, as was true with many other animals. Think about the animal. You know, my favorite deer is a muley deer, because it's like they're on springs. They just hop, you know. I've never seen another animal quite like, I just love a muley, you know. Think of the other animals that we have around here. And I've just done lamp, and then we got the birds. Nancy and I like to feed the birds at home, and we've got, what's the one with the yellow head, and what's it called?
Tanager.
I think Western Tanager. Mm-hmm. Really pretty. Or we get the woodpeckers come once in a while, or those dumb blackbirds. I don't like them, but they're part of God's creatures too. And then he created little worms, you know, that grow, that go in the earth, and they make my garden good. But then there's bugs there that eat my plants. I don't like them. I think of a fish, from a goldfish to a whale that is tons and tons, or sharks, or the good eating, you know, like catfish or trout or whatever.
Think of all of, and then we haven't gotten to the flowers or the trees, the mountains. Just think of the world God has made. And then sometimes we get into these arguments about, well, did we evolve from animals? And we talk about evolution. How many of you have been out guarding, hunting, have ever seen a deer at an altar praying? You know, have you, Jan, you've done, have you ever seen that?
No,
sure. No, because animals don't have that relationship to God. But we as human beings, we have a need to have a relationship with God in some way. And that's why you're here today, to worship God. Because we have a need, we feel this need to be with God. So we talk about evolution, I think we say, well, there are some things that evolved in creation, and that's the way God has done it. God has created the world. We talk about God and science. We say, well, you got to believe either in the Bible or in science. I don't think that's true. Someone has said science is thinking God's thoughts after him. Scientists are just trying to figure out how God did what he did or continues to do. Then one of the big issues today is abortion, or when does life begin? Now if we look at Jeremiah and Isaiah, Isaiah says, and God knew me when I was in my mother's womb. I wonder if God doesn't know us sometimes even before we're conceived. I've never heard that thing espoused, but I think there would be an argument to be made there. Or does life begin when we're conceived? Does it begin at approximately 6 weeks when you hear the first heartbeat? Does it begin when we're born? I think these are issues that, you know, I think Larry has mentioned this before, we need to discuss with each other. You know, I know all the right answers, but not ever all of you do, you know. And so, but we need to discuss them and say, here's what I believe and here's why I believe. And be able to do it without making the other person a bad person, you know. We need to be able to have opposing and opposite and different views. When does life begin? I think that's one thing we should discuss in church. I think I've heard about, you know, test tube babies or whatever. You can do things even outside of, you know, I'm not sure how that works. But sometimes we need to be discussing those things rather than scientists leading us in these ways. We need to be leading them and saying, here's what we think people should know on this. And then another one is the world that we have. Some people say that we have 12 years and the world is going to cease to exist. Well, when I was in seminary, that's what people said too. And they said that by 1988, the world would end, or by 2000 at the latest, it would end. Now, that hasn't happened. And so I think sometimes it becomes a political thing and a power thing. But we all would say, as Christians, I think we would agree that we are to care for creation. And so how do we go about caring for creation? And here, too, I think is where we need to have discussions and talk about, here's, you know, I saw a thing on TV about the plastics in the ocean. And it's just, and I like to watch these Alaska shows, you know. And in one, they think a gun was thrown in a lake. So they go down there and the garbage that they find there, and I would think at least, I know people lived in Alaska should be more responsible, don't you think, you know? It should be pristine. And to see this garbage there, it's like, oh, yuck, you know. But that's something that we as human beings have created, and so what are we going to do about it? How are we going to clean that up? I remember back in seminary, we showed the pictures of Los Angeles, and I mean it was cloudy because of all the pollution in the air. I don't think you see that in Los Angeles today. So we have made progress, and we probably made regress in other ways, you know. And so all this comes under the heading, I would say, of the first article, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. But I want you to open your hymnals to page 1172. George, forget it, you won't be able to read it. I can hardly read it. Nancy and Dr. Johns think I need cataract surgery, and I tell them I don't. I see just fine. They just make the print so small.
Oh,
You know, that's not my fault. But here you see the creed, and you see Luther's meaning to the creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty. Oh, it says creator there. They were doing what I told them to do. What is this? I believe, Luther says now, I believe that God has created me together with all that exists. God has given me and still preserves my body and soul, eyes, ears, all limbs and senses, reason and all mental faculties. In addition, God daily and abundantly provides shoes and clothing, food and drink, house and farm, spouse and children, fields, livestock, and all property. This is a more agrarian society, but you understand what he's getting at here. Along with all the necessities and nourishments for this body and life. God protects me against all danger and shields and preserves me from all evil. All this he does out of pure, fatherly, divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness of mine at all. And for all this, I owe to God to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. We see Luther had a lot more here than I had to say. I thought I had it all together, but Luther, this is what God has done for us. And so I think we closed with saying, for all this, I owe it to God to thank and praise and serve and obey him. And what's the last words? This is most certainly true. Amen. We'll continue with the next hymn.
Don't you know that? Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Come, Holy Spirit, you hear us when we pray to you. Bring clarity and hope to those living with dementia, anxiety, depression, or addiction. Accompany those who feel weak and worn. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Come, Holy Spirit, reveal your love through families of all shapes and sizes. Bring joy to co-parents, single parents, those without children, less extended families, foster families, adoptive families, and families of friends. Bring closure and healing to broken relationships. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Come, Holy Spirit, you make us children of God and joint heirs with Christ. We praise you for all the saints who called on your name and who now know the fullness of your salvation. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We commend these and all our prayers to you, O God. Come near to us with your saving help. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
We share the peace at this time. Receive your offering at this time. Thank you.
Father, you are holy indeed. All your actions show your mercy and love. You made us in your image and set us over your creation. Even when we've fallen under the spell of sin, you did not abandon us, but offered a covenant of blessing for all people. You rescued your chosen people, Israel, as a sign of the great deliverance to come. You sent prophets to prepare the way. And when the time had come, you sent your Son, born of Mary, by the power of the Holy Spirit. In word and wonder, he proclaimed your kingdom and was obedient to your will, even to giving his life. For us, he was lifted up on the cross that we might know the power of his resurrection, and that we might no longer live for ourselves, but for him. He promised his Holy Spirit to those who believe, to comfort and guide us and make us children of you, his Father. Father, through him and in his name we ask you, fill us with his Holy Spirit so that until he comes again, we may remember him as he commanded us. At supper on the night in which was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread in his hands, and after giving thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the meal was ended, he took the cup of wine, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them and said, take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for all people, so that sins might be forgiven. Do this in the remembrance of me. For I will not drink of the fruit of the vine again until the day I drink the new wine in the kingdom of God. Let's together pray the Lord's Prayer. Thank you. for you. Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and keep you in His grace.
Amen.
And we will go to page 18. Send us forth in peace.
Be gracious, O Lord.
Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.